It's good to be here with you today. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Kate, and I am a dean in Florida at a cathedral there. 7 years ago, I moved with my family from Kansas to Florida, convinced that God was calling me to be the dean of this cathedral. It was all about me, you see, this call to Florida. Well, we moved into a little house, a rental house, and we were bringing in our things when the woman next door, an older woman, came by with her little grandson. He was just 5 years old. I introduced her to the family, to my husband and my three boys, Luke, Jake, and Max. And Max was five, just the same age as this little boy. As I introduced my children, the woman next door, our neighbor, got tears in her eyes. She pulled me aside. "My daughter has cancer," she said. She got the cancer when she was pregnant with my little grandson, and she didn't want to hurt the baby, so the cancer spread everywhere. She's been fighting the cancer for 5 years and can have no other children. So my little grandson will never have a sister or a brother to play with. When I heard that a new family was moving in next door, I got down on my knees and I prayed to God and I said, "God, please help a five-year-old boy to move in next door." And when I saw your three boys and Max, who was 5 years old, I'm sorry, but I couldn't help but cry. Max and Ryan would become very good friends, even as Ryan's mother started to die. And at the funeral, Max showed up an hour early in a full suit and sat with the family. They were our neighbors, and it was easy to love them. But how do we know who our neighbors are day in and day out? Are they just the people that live next door to us? Who are they? In today's gospel, there's a lawyer who's very proud of himself, and he comes questioning Jesus, really interrogating Jesus, not for his own benefit, but because he wants to see if Jesus is the real thing. So he asks Jesus, "How do I inherit eternal life?" And his question tells us so much about who he was. He wants to grab heaven. The word in the ancient Greek for inherit is more like take. How do I take heaven? How do I make sure that when I die, I'm going to be in paradise? Show me exactly what to do, the rules that I need to follow in order to guarantee that I get into heaven. That's the way this lawyer thought. And at first, Jesus just humors the lawyer. He says, "Well, what does the law say? You tell me. You're the lawyer." The lawyer parrots back, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "Go and do that. Do likewise. Do exactly that, and you'll be good." But I think at this point, the lawyer is really beginning to get intrigued with Jesus, and he doesn't want the conversation to end. He's already a little bit taken with this Jesus of Nazareth. So he asks another question. And this time, I think the question is a little bit more serious on the lawyer's part. He asks Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers with a story. He answers with a story so many times in the Gospels, these incredible stories that are so rich and so deep, because they answer questions that are difficult for us to answer in a simple way. How many of you have heard this story of the Good Samaritan before? Everyone?
Yep. Okay.
So we all know it. It lives inside of us. Stories do that. If Jesus had just given him a simple factual answer, I don't think all of you would remember it. But we remember the story. It stays with us. It lives in us. And it has a life of its own. In fact, these stories are so deep and so rich that the Desert Fathers in the 4th century, they used to take one of these stories and they would go into a cave and meditate on it for an entire year. A year with one story. And then the Desert Father would come out and everyone would say, What did you discover? And the father would say, I couldn't plumb the depths of its meaning. In other words, the deeper that he went, the richer the meaning became. These stories have no end to what they mean. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was very narrow in Jesus' time. It was much narrower than any of the roads on St. Bart's. It would have been impossible to pass by someone who was lying on the side of the road. You'd have to almost step over them. And in this story, a man is beaten and hurt, and he lies on the ground in this small road. And at first, all the people who are supposedly the ones who would get into heaven, who are supposedly the most devout, the people that follow all the rules, the priest and the Levite, I always feel embarrassed, the priest, step over the man and don't help him. And then comes a Samaritan. Now, in Jesus' time, Samaritans were a blend of pagan and Jew. They were a hybrid. They worshipped on Mount Gerizim instead of Mount Zion, and the Jews hated them. They hated them so much that when they walked to the Galilee, they would have to go around Samaria. They didn't want to walk through it because they didn't want to encounter one of those dirty, disgusting, defiled Samaritans. So they would go all the way around, way out of their way, just to avoid them. Samaritans were not considered human. They were considered cruel and wrong and definitely not in God's favor, not going to heaven for sure. But in Jesus' story, it's the disgusting, defiled stranger who ends up taking care of the broken man. And not only does he take care of him, he gets out wine and oil and all these expensive things that are very difficult to come by, and he pours them on the man's wounds, and he wraps them in cloth, and he puts the man on a donkey and takes him to an inn, and he spends all kinds of money, and he comes, says, I'll come back and I'll pay for anything else that this man needs. So it wasn't the people that followed the rules. It wasn't the people that prayed in the right way. It was the person who, when he encountered need, addressed it. You see, when Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor, I don't think he's thinking about feeling warm feelings. He's actually saying that you must do something. That love is something that you do, not something that you feel. And I think that what Jesus is telling us, St. Paul put it so well. He says to the people in Colossae, you have to live as if you're already in heaven. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to inherit eternal life, you've got to act as if you're already there. So even when the world is not just, you need to be just. Even when the world is not compassionate, you need to be compassionate. Even when the world is completely unfair, you need to be fair. And in this way, you will be in the kingdom of heaven even while you're still alive. You will make it so. You know, the word neighbor literally means in the ancient Greek, the one who is near you. The one who is near you. In our global society, I get overwhelmed sometimes by all that's going on in the world, all the violence, all the complicated issues, and I don't know what to do. Don't you feel that way sometimes? We can't solve it. What can we do? It's so broken. But I think that Jesus in this parable is telling us, I will put someone across your path. I will put someone near you, someone in need, in your life. And when you find that person who is in need and is near you, you are to help them, no matter who they are. No matter whether you find them likable or dislikable, whether you find them attractive or disgusting, whether you agree with them or not, if there is someone in your path who is broken, you are to help them. I don't think that God expects any one of us to solve all the world's problems. But when someone moves in next door to us, when we encounter someone in our lives who is hurting, that is the moment when God is saying, this is your neighbor. This is the one near to you. Care for that person. So in the coming weeks, I want you to keep awake. Look at your life and watch, because I do believe that God will put someone in front of you, right in your path. And you'll either have to walk around them or step over them or help them. And it's in that moment when I want you to remember this parable. And remember that you need to help that person, not for them, but for you. Because that is how we come to know God. By living as if we already are with God in heaven. By being just when no one else seems just. By being fair when nothing seems fair. By being incredibly compassionate when it seems that there is no compassion left. Amen.